Welcome to the Faith Lakeside Podcast. Each week, you'll hear another great message that will help you know God and make Him known in your life. Join us each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. and throughout the week in small groups to make the most of your learning experiences. Now, sit back, relax with a great cup of coffee and a notebook, and enjoy this week's message.
So grab a tape measure and hold on to those. Hold them up when you think you know what they mean, okay? So later on in the message, hold them up when you think you know what they mean. All right? So you guys can return to your seats with your parents, especially you, William. I know you need to be with your mother. Somebody's got to watch that kid. He's too much like me. Well, welcome. Such a privilege to have everybody here. For those who are just getting to know us or maybe watching online, my name is Michael, and I have the privilege of serving as pastor. There we go. Tried to throw too many words out all at once. So thank you for being here today. We do have, for everybody who's in attendance today or watching online, we've got our business meeting, our annual business meeting following the gathering today, where we approve our annual budget and just kind of affirm our leadership team. We kind of had some miscommunication on scheduling, and so what we would traditionally do, of course, is go downstairs and have a meal and other stuff together, and those miscommunications led to no food today, which is fine. What that means is we're going to wrap up the services not as quickly as possible, like, okay, rub-a-dub-dub, we're done, but rather we are going to do, I'm going to work to stay concise in the message, and then we will take a 5 to 10 minute break. Members, you guys will need to sign in the back and get your ballot, and everyone is welcome to stay with us. If you're watching online, the Facebook and YouTube streams will cease. Check your email. There is a Zoom link. You can watch the meeting on Zoom and text in your questions or any comments you might have. So all that will be happening. We'll finish up the service, take about a 5 to 10 minute break. Kids can run around the building like wild beasts if you want. If your parents allow you, because they are the ones with ultimate authority over your life, other than God Himself. And then after just a short break, we'll get back together, bring our business meeting to order, do our business. And since we've already had opportunity over the last couple of weeks to look over the budget and hopefully to ask any questions, it should be a pretty quick, here's what's going on, here's where we're headed, here's why things are the way they are. Let's affirm this kind of business meeting. So just so you know. And then next Saturday, we're going to have a quick work day. Well, it could be quick or it could be long. Not sure. We're installing some cabinetry downstairs for a coffee bar. And we'll start charging for coffee probably the nicer things get, right? No, I'm kidding. But we're going to have a coffee bar, some work, replacing some lights downstairs. If you've been down there, you know that we need some new light bulbs. And working on some other minor electrical stuff. So what you can do to help out is if you've got a ladder to help reach lights, you can bring that. If you are good with basic electrical work, bring those tools. If you just like to stand and watch everybody else work and drink coffee while you're doing that, you're welcome as well. So just happy to have anyone who wants to come and help out. So we are continuing our series called This is Faith, kind of an update for where we are at and who we are for this coming year. You know, like I've mentioned, New Year's resolutions can be a great thing, except oftentimes they're dead by now. This is the 17th. So some of you, maybe you're still plodding along. Many of us, we made a resolution to lose 20 pounds by, middle of the year, and so we've already put 10 on since January 1, and it's done. It's over. So but the truth is in church life, sometimes we'll stand up and we'll say lots of grand things. In the next year, we're going to do this, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do this. And while it's excellent to have goals, and we're going to share some of those with you, it's even more important to remember what God has already clearly spoken to us, what He has already told us who we are and how we are to behave and how we are to live together as a church. So in the past, as this church has been together and it's developed through the years, a clear mission statement has come to bear upon who we are as a body, and that is to know God and make Him known. And to know God is not just to have an intellectual connection with God, but rather to know Him is an intimate connection and relationship with God that inspires us to be more, that inspires us to unite ourselves together, that inspires us to reach out to our community, and that is making him known. And the thing is we want to be like the Apostle Paul when he wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, to the church in Corinth. He said to them, "Imitate me as I also imitate Christ." That all of us, our goal should be to be following one another towards Jesus and becoming like him and living as he lived and teaching and loving and following after him as our Lord and Savior. And so we have a faith journey that helps us to know God and make him known. It begins with believing. And last week we really focused in on Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, where the Apostle Paul writes, "If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. One believes with the heart, resulting in righteousness, and one confesses with the mouth, resulting in salvation." That salvation, that belief, is really tied together both a heart condition in which we believe on Jesus as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that he is everything he said he is, but there's also a confession, which is an outflowing of your life where not only do you believe, but you also change. There are actions that come out of your life that reveal to everyone around you that something is different about you, that you know God by making him known. And then the next step in our faith journey is to really focus on, once we as individuals are in right relationship with God, understanding that once that personal salvation has taken hold, we are called to a community of believers. And we are supposed to genuinely belong to one another. And that's what Dawn was talking about, body members. Very rarely do you see an index finger crawling along the floor by itself, right? Because it needs the whole body to function well. And the whole body needs the index finger. Maybe not for every moment, maybe not for every activity, but that index finger is critical for so many things that the body needs to do and accomplish. And every part of our bodies is critical. And you know that as soon as you have a part that does not function well, don't you? I've been having this pain, right, the backside of my knee the last like 24 hours or so, and it's just like, please, Lord, let this stop, because it hurts, and it hinders me, and I will likely trip up the stairs sometime later today just because of that hurting knee. And so it's important that we all understand that we, once we are individually in right relationship with God, are called to be together as a community in relationship with each other, as intimate and connected to each other as our body parts are to one another. So, we're going to talk about that a little bit more today, and the benefits as well as the commands related to that belonging. If you have your Bibles, I encourage you to open them up to the book of Ephesians. In my Bible, it's on page 1052, which isn't the same as your Bible, but I just thought that would be fun to say. Or you can open up your app. It's in the YouVersion app today. I may be feeling a little squirrely, so just be careful. Who knows what's coming? Open up the book of Ephesians, and I'm a little bit, I'm going to keep clipping along and try not to get too distracted, but the book of Ephesians is this beautiful book that actually starts at salvation and progresses all the way through what it looks like to live the Christian life correctly, to live the Christian life, to know God and then to make him known. Now, we're not going to go through the whole book of Ephesians, but just some highlights as we look at the first three chapters. Here the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6, he says this, "Blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavens in Christ. For he chose us in him before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless in love before him. He predestined us to be adopted as sons and daughters," we can add in there, "through Jesus Christ for himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he lavished on us in the beloved one." As we read passages like this, just a few verses, we can see there is so much depth to our relationship with God, that He has always loved those of us who are believers from the very foundation of the world. In fact, before the foundation of the world, He said, "This one is mine," and He has blessed us with every possible spiritual blessing and grace upon grace according to His good pleasure, in order that we might glorify and praise Him. And so Paul is just so excited about what it means to be a believer and understanding that as an individual, when we come to this point of believing, it's because God has already done all of the hard work. He's the one that wants us. He's the one that's established the relationship. The Father is the one who sent the Son, who lived a perfect and sinless life. God and man 100% together. And Jesus died on the cross and rose again so that you might be saved from your sins, so that you might really know God. And Paul is really excited by this. He goes on to say a little bit later in the book, in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, he says, "And He subjected everything under His," Jesus' "feet, and appointed Him," Jesus, "as head over everything for the church, which is His body, the fullness of the one who fills all things in every way." That we need to understand that the church, and who is the church? Us. Not this building. This building is wonderful, but we are the church. These ones who are called out and beloved and chosen and given all of the glorious riches that God has for us. We're the church. And we are the body of Christ, it says. And it says this body, it's the fullness of the one who fills all things in every way. We are supposed to be this amazing representation of Jesus to the world around us. We're not a country club. We're not a support group. We are not just a hey, how are you, see you later kind of place. We are supposed to be, when somebody walks in the building and looks at us, they are supposed to be like, whoa, Jesus. Now listen, this can be both encouraging and should be encouraging that this is who we can be, and condemning if this is not who we are. Not condemning, but maybe convicting is the better word. Because if we don't walk in here, if we're not excited, if we're not just like, this is Jesus, man, look at this place, look around me, this is like walking with Jesus. This is footprints in the sand in real life because He's here. And that's what we're supposed to be for each other and for the world around us. And if you don't get that when you walk in the door, if you don't look forward to that, if that, then we're not what we're supposed to be, and you're part of the problem. Wow. Paul talks to the Corinthian church and says, you got some issues too. You understand, you're kind of selfish. I want you to get the grasp. You are the body of Christ. And individually, we are all members of it. We're all body parts. And you might go, but I'm just the appendix. We need the appendix, we think. So please be part, right? Paul goes on to say, chapter 2, verses 19 and 22 in the book of Ephesians. You kind of flip through and just, we're kind of tracing his argument in big steps, or his encouragement in big steps. So then, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus Himself as the cornerstone. Kind of harkens back to this, right? Living stones built on the cornerstone of Jesus Christ. In Him, the whole building being put together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In Him, you are also being built together for God's dwelling in the Spirit. You want to experience God to His fullness. You want to be part of a body that is being knit together for His glory. So already we've seen Paul introduce here in Ephesians the concept of personal salvation, each individual being called to faith in Jesus Christ from before time began, according to the good pleasure of God, and given everything they need. And he said, you were called that way. God brought you to salvation. He brought you to the moment of belief where you confessed and believed so that you might belong to this spiritual community that he's making us into. So we're going to focus a little bit more. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. We'll kind of narrow it in for us a little bit more. Here's what Paul writes there. He says, therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, urge you to live worthy of the calling you have received, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope at your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. So here Paul is saying to the church in Ephesus, and he's saying to believers all the way down through history, I want you, now that you know you're saved and that you're a Christian, I want you to walk or to live a life worthy of God's call on you. God called you out from the dark masses. He made you a citizen of heaven. He made you part of his family. He made you part of the body of Christ. And now I want you to live a life that's worthy of all that God has poured into you. And he says, this is what that looks like. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. When Paul tells us to walk worthy of the calling, he doesn't say stop sinning. He doesn't say be a perfect person. What does he say? He says unite with other believers. Be together with others. To walk worthy of the calling on our life begins with being part of a community. It begins with belonging. And I know COVID has made things messy and difficult. And so there is no condemnation, because we have to understand there are some folks at home today who they don't feel comfortable, you know, concerned with their health. And we understand, and we pray for you, and we love you, and we long for the day to see you back physically. There are others of us, we haven't been able to attend small groups or other things because we're concerned about health. Understand, we've backed off a little bit on youth and kids' ministries from time to time as things flare up. No worries, right? We're not talking about legalism here, but what we are talking about is that this community of believers should be a priority in every Christian's life. And not like a priority in the top 20 list. But I mean, like, God and family and then church. That's kind of how Paul's laying it out for us. He says this is why it's so amazing when we're together. There's one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope at your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. We are supposed to be united and growing together and one because God has called us all to the same things. He's loved us all with the same deep and glorious love. We've all been dunked the same way. We've all come and we eat of the body and the blood together at the same time in the same way. All of this should unite us and draw us together. Then we flip a little bit, and he begins to talk about Jesus and what Jesus has done for every believer in the church. Verses 7 through 10, here's what Paul says. Now grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. For it says, when he ascended on high, he took the captives captive, he gave gifts to people. But what does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower parts of the earth? The one who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens to fill all things. Now, we're not going to camp out very long on this little passage because it is like rich. We could spend 2 or 3 Sundays just on the Christology, the, the doctrine of Jesus that's wrapped up in here and his works. But I want you to understand the general picture that the Apostle Paul is painting for us. He's saying that Jesus came from heaven to earth. He was victorious in his calling and in what he intended to do, to live a perfect life, to die on the cross for your sins and mine, to rise again on the third day, and then to ascend back to heaven on the 40th day. And that Jesus was a successful, a victorious king, and he went back to heaven. And as he went back to heaven, he distributed gifts to everyone who would believe in him. Now, this is a picture from Paul's day and age of a king who leaves his town or his city and the protection of that. He goes out and he conquers the enemy. And as he comes back into the city, it was a common practice for a victorious king who had destroyed and looted and ransacked another city or small kingdom to come back into their own kingdom and to start handing out trinkets and gifts to everyone who was in their kingdom as a sign of their power, as a sign of their largesse, their generosity. And so Paul is using that picture of a human king coming back into his kingdom and giving gifts to his subjects, and saying that Jesus, as he rose victorious back into heaven, he gave every Christian, verse 7, he gave every Christian a gift according to his own measures of grace. We would call these spiritual gifts. So Jesus has given all believers who are called to be part of a body, and that's every believer, spiritual gifts. Now you might ask, why? Why would Jesus give us spiritual gifts? And we're not going to go into details on the spiritual gifts, but it is the ability, the supernatural ability, to do works of ministry and work that you wouldn't be able to do on a normal Tuesday. For some of us, it's a gift like preaching and teaching. Most of you guys would probably not believe this, but I am a raging introvert. Like, who laughed? I would much rather be in a dark room alone with a candle and maybe a book. You know, that's just, it's who I am. That to be around others, I love you, but it's work. It's difficult for me sometimes because I struggle to connect. I struggle to understand other people sometimes. I mean, anybody, some of you introverts, you feel that way. You're like, I just don't get people. You extroverts are like, oh, I get them all, and I love them, right? How does an introvert who would rather be alone become a pastor because of a spiritual gift? Because God takes and he gives according to his own good pleasure. Jesus gives according to his own good pleasure a gift. For some of you, it's teaching. For some of you, it's administration. For some of you, it's encouragement. Whole bunch of spiritual gifts. We can talk about more of them. But why did Jesus give spiritual gifts at all? Verses 11 through 13 tells us the story. It says this. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, equipping the saints for the work of ministry to build up the body of Christ until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of God's Son, growing in maturity with a stature measured by Christ's fullness. God himself, gave some to be different gifts. Why were these different gifts given? Every gift has been given to equip the church, the saints, to do ministry together, to build up the body of Christ, to make the church what it is supposed to be. If the eyeball says to the rest of the body, I don't like you, I'm going to go do my own thing, what happens to the body? blind, especially if both eyeballs go. And then eyeballs laying out on the pavement don't accomplish much either. It's a rudimentary picture, but I think you understand that we are each and every one of us called as a body part, given a special gift, and we're supposed to be working together to do ministry, with the goal being that we will all reach unity in the faith and knowledge of God's Son and grow up with a stature measured by Christ's fullness. Who's got their tape measures? Measured, right? If we're going to measure what we're supposed to look like as a Christian, who is our tape measure? Jesus. Somebody got the Sunday school answer, right? Jesus. Jesus is our tape measure. Jesus is the one we're supposed to be measuring up to. I've always pictured it as well. As in our home, we've got the door jamb. You know, the door jamb that everybody has backed up to and stood a little taller. And, you know, you do the ruler up, and then you mark on it. You know, and so we've got the measurements for, I think everybody but me has done that. And it's just because I don't want to put them to shame. Because I'm still the tallest one in the house. That's right. But imagine this is a spiritual growth chart. And at the very tippy top of the door jam is Jesus. And your and my desire should be to want to measure up to Jesus. I want to measure up to Him. He's the only measurement in this life that matters. And the way that we grow up to look like Jesus, according to what Scripture tells us, is together. Together. We were called to be a body. We were each given gifts because we want to equip one another. We want to build up the body. We want to be unified in faith and knowledge. And we know that the only way we can grow up into real maturity measured by Christ is together. Together. Now, some of us might be feeling a little convicted. Some of us might be feeling a little prodded. Some of you might be going, well, Michael, you just want attendance to go up so that there's more money, so that, you know, the church is more. No. I want you to understand something about the Christian life. It is not made to be lived alone. It's not even made to be lived in just your household. You should be doing family time together. You should be discussing spiritual things with your children and your spouses. But that's not it. We're supposed to be getting together and breaking down barriers and being body parts together. This is the only way we really can grow up fully into the maturity of Christ-likeness, is together. So I want to tell you, if you are at a point in your spiritual life where you are like, man, I just feel like I'm not growing. I feel like God is so distant. I feel like I just don't understand what it means to be a Christian in today's crazy age. Get out of your shell and start connecting with other believers. First, Sunday morning. Sunday mornings are a fine place, but if all you do is walk in and walk out, you are missing out. If all you do is come when it's your Sunday to serve, you're missing out. You're not helping us mature, and you are going to be missing out on maturing as well. Paul goes on to speak to us here in verses 14 through 16. Here is the goal. Here's what we want it to look like when we've matured into looking like Jesus. When we mature into the measurement of Jesus, we grow up, we look like Him, because we're hanging out together, because we're unified, because we're building each other up, because we're serving one another in whatever way we know how, then we will no longer be little children, tossed by the waves and blown around by every wind of teaching, by human cunning with cleverness in the techniques of deceit, but speaking the truth in love, let us grow in every way into Him who is the head, Christ. From him the whole body, fitted and knit together by every supporting ligament, promotes the growth of the body for building up itself in love by the proper working of each individual part. The goal. Why does God want this for us? Because he wants us to mature. And when we are mature, we will mature in three very distinct ways. We will mature in truth. Quick question, don't need to raise your hand, but how many of you have fallen prey to believing the latest trend in Christianity? And I got to tell you, as a pastor, it's happened to me. Buy this book and your church will grow. Come to this conference and attendance will increase by 500% and God will be proud of you. We tend to follow fads. Right now there's some stuff going on in the church. There are calls for critical race theory to be accepted by churches. There's tools like the Enneagram and other things that are highly questionable when it comes to their use within the body of Christ. And yet we see churches diving off wholeheartedly into these things because they lack maturity in the truth. They are blown around by every new idea that comes. What keeps us from being like that? It's when we come together. When we go, hey, have you read this book? Oh, hey, let's talk about that in light of Scripture. Have you gone to this conference? Hey, let's discuss that in light of what God's Word really has to say. And guess what? Even I can be prone to being blown around by things, which is why I'm so thankful for our elder team. Why I'm so thankful for many of you who aren't afraid to speak to me clearly about things. Thank you. That's what we're supposed to be doing for one another, maturing in truth. We're also supposed to be maturing in service, where every body part does what it's here for. And I have to say that if you are attending church on Sunday morning, thank you. Thank you for being here. If you're watching online, thank you for being here. If you're coming to small groups, that's a great place to be. Ultimately, though, you need to be serving. And what does serving look like? Does it mean you need to teach Sunday school? No. No. Serving can be as simple as willingly and joyfully helping with cleaning toilets or doing work days. And it doesn't have to be every Sunday. It doesn't have to be every time the doors are open, I'm there doing my thing. But rather, every time we need someone that does the thing you do, you come and you do it joyfully. And you keep your eyes and your ears open, and you're here even when we don't need you to do your thing, because you're still important to the body. The final way we will mature is maturity in belonging. Every individual part belonging to each other and working well with the others. Here's the truth. Ultimately, belonging is a critical part of you and I maturing to Christ-likeness. And I want to tell you, especially if you are feeling like your spiritual life is lethargic, if you feel lonely, if you feel like God isn't speaking to you anymore, if you feel like you don't understand how to apply spiritual truth to your life, do not retreat from church. Do not go shop for another church. Instead, dive deep into the church that God has you in and find out what you should be giving of yourself to others that they might give to you and help you mature to Christ-likeness. It's all about serving. It's all about being served. It's all about belonging. And so these are the three challenges I give to everybody this week. Here's where we're at. I want to encourage you to consistently attend at least Sunday mornings, but even better, a small group. We've got a great Monday night group that meets. We've got women's group on Wednesday nights. We've got youth group that's meeting on Thursday nights. We've got a Sunday school that meets on Sunday mornings. And our goals in this year include increasing the ability for all of us to connect in a smaller group on a regular basis. But if you are not here, I'm going to tell you straight up, you will not mature. If you feel like your spiritual life is stalled, it's because you're not participating in the body the way that God intends for you to. Second, I encourage you not just to attend, but to get to the place where you serve. And you might say, well, where can I serve? I don't like kids. They make me angry. Teenagers scare me. People my own age intimidate me. Old people are grumpy. Right? So there's an excuse everywhere, right? How do we figure out where to serve in church? Well, first, what's your personality like? It can start there. What do you like to do? What's your passion? What do you like to do? What's your personality like? Now, but what's funny is that some of us are going to run up and we're going to start serving in a place that we think we like, and then God will make it very clear that He's gifted us otherwise. And we may have to do something we ultimately or in the beginning dislike in order to be faithful to the gift that we've been given. And so it isn't come and do the things you like and that's where it ends, but rather start with doing the things you like, and then as you mature, you'll find out you're going to be doing the things you're supposed to as we serve together. And then finally, belong. Attend. Be here consistently. Serve. Give of yourself to others because you're valuable. And then belong with each body part properly working together. And I tell you that belonging, it's independent of feelings, fads, schedules, or desires. Like, if you really belong to someone else, you don't get to say, I don't feel like it, when they say, I need you. When you really belong to someone else, you don't get to say, well, I've got this other thing that's more important in my life. Some of you are going to go, man, Michael, you're starting to sound like a legalist. And I'm going to tell you, I don't feel like I'm sounding like a legalist, because this isn't, you're not saved if you don't come. But I'm telling you, if you are saved and you feel like you are not growing and you're not connected, it's because you aren't genuinely committed to belonging and growing in Christ-likeness with us. You can be saved all day long and still be stagnant in your faith. If you want to grow, if you want to mature, if you want to find joy, you need to attend, you need to serve, and you need to belong, independent of your feelings, the fads that are going on around you, the schedules that want to own you, or your own personal desires. Because our goal is to know God, and it begins by believing on Him with worship and study and prayer and meditation and embarking on the faith journey together. And the very first step after having an individual salvation is to belong to this church. And if you're not going to belong to this church, there's another one you like more, and you know you should be there, then you better be there next Sunday, and you better be there 100%. But if this is your church home, the call for each and every one of us, online or here today, is to attend faithfully, to serve in our area of gifting, and then to belong no matter the circumstances, and really allow ourselves to be given over to the body, that we might all mature into Christ-likeness. So, believe is a good starting place. Belong is our next step. Next week, we're going to talk about reaching, the very next step in our faith journey. Once we're in a right relationship with God through Jesus Christ, and we're being built up to spiritual maturity because we fully belong to His people, the church, we'll find we are able to reach out into our community and into the lives of others in meaningful and powerful ways. So as our worship team comes up this morning, I just want you to ponder what you've heard. I'm not going to ask for like everybody sign a card to commit to attending every Sunday for the next 6 months. You know, we're not going to guilt, we're not going to shame, but I want you to hear the voice of the Spirit. And I especially want you to look at your own spiritual life and say, is it stagnant and stale and cold, and do you need to be growing up into Christ-likeness? You do. And if you really understand that, getting more involved in church, whether it's online, here in person, serving, that's your first and next step to spiritual growth. So just ponder that for a moment as the worship team gets set up and begins to play. I want you to think about where you stand in your belonging. I want you to think about what God may be laying on your heart would be a next step for you in belonging. I want you to consider, should you be attending a Monday night study at 7 o'clock or Wednesday night ladies at 6:30 or Thursday night youth group or Sunday school downstairs at 9:30 every Sunday? Do you just need to start committing to being at church more often? Like, maybe just every Sunday would be a good start. Maybe you're here faithfully, but you've just been sitting and spectating and consuming. It's time to serve. And then maybe you've been serving in places, but you've never really given of yourself to others, never really allowed others to be in relationship with you. You've always held others at a distance. And it's time for you to belong. Not sure. Listen to that. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you that you have chosen us, that you've brought us to this place, that you've made us to belong. I pray that we would be convicted about where in the priorities of our life church should be. Would you speak to us clearly by your Spirit and by your Word? I know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, you're calling each and every one of us to Christ-likeness and maturity. And so would you help us to understand what that looks like in regard to our relationship with one another? Open our hearts, open our eyes, and open our minds. Lord Jesus, we thank you for what you've done for us. We thank you for the salvation that comes only through your life, death, and resurrection. And we confess you to be our Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised you from the dead. Now help us to make next steps so that salvation becomes not just a thing for someday, but a thing that applies today. In your name, we pray, Jesus.
Jesus. song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Amen. Well, thank you for being here today. We're going to take just about a 5 to 10 minute pause and give folks who don't want to be here time to get away, and folks who need to refresh their coffee or you have a restroom break. If you are a member, be sure to get your ballot for voting on our measures. It'll be for Michael Chevalier. I'll have them in the back as you come back in or as you go find your seats. A couple of things. Places that we need help serving if you're interested right away. Always need help in building cleaning, so you can kind of schedule your own time. We give you a key to come and help with that. We always are looking now to reestablish our nursery a little bit. So we've got some young ones in here, and it's not because parents, we don't want them in here, but we want to be able to serve you on the Sundays when you'd like it. So we're looking for folks to step in and do nursery. Just know that there are opportunities. So just check in with me if you are like, I desperately need to serve somewhere. Others of you, may, especially online, when you're looking for a small group, we're going to start our Bible Bite up, back up. It'll be Wednesdays at noon starting in February, so just be looking forward to that, to have some small group time online. So God bless you guys. So many of you will stay. Happy to have you. Others of you, we understand leaving. So let's just have a great and blessed week.